The passage of Scripture that we are going to look at today is in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. The Word of God. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord, and therefore encourage one another with these words. The young church in Thessalonica was an amazing work of God. They heard the gospel, had not heard it before. Now they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed. They got rid of their idols. They began serving the living God, totally turned around. The Apostle Paul wondered about their faith. Was it going to stick? So he sent Timothy there, and Timothy came back with a report saying, yes, they're strong in faith. They're living the godly life. They have deep love for one another. The Holy Spirit has been at work in their hearts and lives, sanctifying them. So they are now careful about not taking advantage of one another. People from diverse backgrounds, Jews, Greeks, and many chief women among them. Interesting, because their names are still written and inscribed in Thessalonica on some of the stones and facades there. They were indeed chief women. But these people all came together. They bowed before the Lord, they received the Lord, and they became a congregation. Now the Apostle Paul, while he was there, shared with them the basic truths of the gospel. As you probably recall, the Apostle Paul was not with them very long, only 3 weeks that he met with them in the synagogue and preached the gospel to them. But he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. They knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they knew that at one time, Jesus would return to this earth. But they were worried and concerned. They were people of great, deep faith, but they thought the Lord Jesus was going to come back soon. And while they waited, some of their congregation, their dear, faithful brothers and sisters, died. They were waiting for the great day, the day of Jesus' return. No other day like it in the world. But these people had died. Now, What about them? Were they okay? What will happen to them when Jesus returns? Now, that's not an irrelevant question, a question only that they had. But the Apostle Paul answers this question, and in answering the question, he gives us information that we need to look forward also with hope and anticipation. It's an amazing picture that the Apostle Paul brings to the Thessalonian church in this letter. Their question, will those who died before Jesus returned miss out on the great day, on the parousia, a word used in Thessalonians 6 times, the coming back and staying and being with of the Lord Jesus Christ? What will happen? Will they be in on it? Will they miss out? What's going to take place? How, if there is resurrection, would there be a reuniting of body and soul? So the Apostle Paul goes through these things, and he gives them, through this, words of mutual encouragement, words that the church of all ages is to use as we see our brothers and sisters, even sometimes children, die. Words to encourage one another, true words about the return of the Lord. The Apostle Paul begins in this passage by saying, we don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. They need to be informed. They need this information. The Apostle Paul had not given it to them, but it was important for them to know. Death is a terrible enemy. Body and soul is torn apart. Those who die in the Lord go to be with the Lord. We as believers live in confident hope because we know that those who are in Christ are never separated from Christ. If they're in Christ here in the world, they're in Christ eternally in glory. Always in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have confidence. Our bodies temporarily lifeless. Because of that, we are able to say, death, where is your sting? We are able to say with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We hear Jesus and believe when he says, because I live, you will live also. Yes, the Lord Jesus on the cross carried our sins. He was punished. There was no mitigation. There was no relief until he had completely consumed the cup of God's wrath for your sin and mine. My sins on Jesus on the cross. Yours on Jesus on the cross. He descended into hell. The horror of death is past because Jesus rose from the dead. Believers, body temporarily sleeping while the spirit is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, he is asleep. I will awaken him. When Jairus came to Jesus, His little daughter was dying. There was a crowd around. He said to Jesus, "Jesus, my little daughter is dying." And even before Jesus was able to go to help, someone came from his home and said, "The little girl is dead. No longer a need to bother the master. He has died. She has died." Jesus went on his way then slowly. There was a woman with a problem of bleeding, the Bible says. And Jesus stopped to help her. Finally, he arrived at the home of Jairus. And the crowd was there crying and weeping. And Jesus said, "Why all the commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And so Jesus, in his power, was able to give her life. Now, we as believers have hope. We have hope in eternal life, in going to be with the Lord. We have hope in the resurrection. We are people who live in confident hope because of the Son of God. Unbelievers really are people with no hope. The time that Thessalonians was written, there were writings such as these. Hopes are for the living. The dead are without hope. Another writer wrote, "I wept over your dead son, but there is nothing one can do. So please comfort each other." And still another wrote, "The sun can set and rise again, but once our brief light sets, there is one unending night." Yes, what kind of hope is there apart from Christ? We, the people of God, are the people of hope. If we are pinning hope on goodness, it's not good enough. What else could we possibly hope in than in the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our one hope, our confident hope. Okay, the Thessalonians believe these things. But now what about those who died? Would they miss out on the great day, the parousia? Jesus had spoken about this, but it was not written. We don't have any teaching about it from the lips of Jesus anywhere. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, was able to speak on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. This is information they needed. There is a coming one. His name is Jesus. It is a personal coming. The Lord himself will come. And dear brothers and sisters, you will see him. Yes, I will see him. Every eye will see him. From east to west, we will see the coming of the Son of God. And when the Son of God comes, he will take with him those who have died believing in him, because they are never separated from him. The coming one is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. He will bring this age to an end. He will come with the angels and with those who have died. And there will be three great sounds. A great voice. A shout of authority. It's a shout like a ship's master to the rowers. Like a military leader to his soldiers. It's a shout like a battle cry. Everyone in the tombs, dear people, everyone in the tombs will hear. Will hear his voice. Dead bodies will hear. Like Lazarus. The same voice that called the world, the creation into being, will be heard by every dead believer. Can you imagine? Christ comes. Every dead believer rises again when he comes with their souls. Then there is the voice of the archangel, the one who is in God's presence. And there is the trumpet call of God. In the Old Testament, trumpets announced festivities and triumphs. So will the majesty and greatness of the day of the Lord be announced by trumpet. It will not be missed. You will hear it. Jesus' coming will be loud, attention-grabbing, not silent, personal, visible, glorious, universal, every eye, one end of the earth to the other, everyone will see the Lord as he returns. At the last trump, the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So here we are. We are still alive. Jesus comes, and we see the dead raised. It will happen. Then what? Well, the faithful departed, they will rise first. They will be present for this great event. Yes, that's the answer. They will be here. They will be present. Then those who are still alive, those who have lively faith in the Lord, wide awake, anticipatory faith, looking for the coming of Jesus, they will be snatched up to be with the Lord. We read, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry, command, with the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Then, here is the sequence. They first. "Then we who are alive, who are left, we will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Snatched up. When you see a child running for traffic, you snatch the child up. The Apostle Paul was threatened by members of the Jerusalem Council, and he was snatched up by soldiers to take him away. The Spirit snatched up Philip after his interview with the Ethiopian eunuch, snatched up and taken away. That's what the word means. The Hebrew word, the Greek word, means being snatched up. We will be snatched up to meet them, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the process, we will be changed. We will need to be changed and made holy to be with Christ. What is the meeting place? The meeting place is the clouds in the air. When Jesus left, he left and departed into the clouds. When he returns, he will come again in the clouds of heaven. In the Old Testament, clouds reveal and signify the glory of God. Mysterious, but God is present. When Jesus comes, he comes on clouds. At the Transfiguration, Jesus was in cloud in the presence of God. The Old Testament, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man comes to be presented to the Ancient of Days in the cloud of glory. As we think about the Old Testament, we remember clouds of darkness, clouds of glory, clouds of threat. The Mount of Olives, the Mount Sinai, as the law was given. The tabernacle filled with the glory of God. Then the Shekinah cloud that rose from the tabernacle and again was God present among his people, the sign of God's presence. The temple filled with the glory of God. The clouds of God's glory. Jesus comes. He comes with the glory of God. Every eye seeing him come to earth. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels to gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Coming with the angels, with the departed saints, coming to call the dead to life, coming to snatch away his people so they can be with the saints and with Christ and in the presence of his glory forever. What kind of a meeting will it be? There's a special word that is used in Thessalonians here, a special word that is used for this meeting, meeting the Lord. It's a technical term. In Jesus' day, when a dignitary was going to come to another city or a village, on his way to that village, before he entered it, people from the city would go out to meet him. We have that term used several times. Going to meet the Lord. Here we are. Here we are going to meet the Lord and meet him in the air as he comes to this world, as he comes to bring an end to the kingdom of this world and consummate the kingdom that is eternal. Now, it never says here which way Christ and all of his people went. Did they return to heaven? Did they come to earth? The word is used about going to meet a dignitary and coming back to the city. So it seems that that's the most likely understanding of this. And then permanent living with Christ. The parousia. Parousia means being with, coming to be with. Jesus is coming to be with his people, his resurrected people, his people who are now body and soul together in his presence, his bride, his joy. It's interesting that then the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, now, comfort each other with these words. Comfort each other. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And now we, the people of God, with the Spirit of God and the knowledge of what will be, and now we comfort one another. So we become ministers to one another of encouragement in Christ Jesus. He says here, therefore, encourage one another with these words. What words? Do you use these words to comfort one another? These words? These are the words given directly to us for comfort. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming in power and great glory. Jesus himself is coming. We will come with him if we have already died. If not, we will see him coming in the clouds of glory, and we will go to meet him. Dear people, live expecting. Be encouraged. And encourage one another with these important words that the Thessalonian church had to know. May God bless us as we serve him, encouraging one another in life and in death. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We are waiting for your blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the wonderful privilege today of sitting at the table of the Lord, recalling the life, the sacrificial death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.